Well, hey, Logan, man, I really appreciate this opportunity to get to sit here and talk to you and learn all about you. And, going forward, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and tell us about yourself to our audience and listeners.
So I'm born with cerebral palsy. It affects all four limbs. So what happened was when I was born, my body passed. So I run without oxygen for about 9 minutes. And that lack of oxygen supply caused brain damage to my cerebral cortex. And that's why my muscles really kind of impaired. But thank God I had the mother that I had. And she was the one that told the doctor no when they said I would never walk. And she's the one that kind of looked past it to help get me to where I am now.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's something, because I scrolled through your Instagram and I noticed that. And that was actually kind of something I wanted to dive into because I know you had a post and it was like, the doctors are saying you'll never walk or live close to a normal life. And so do you think that kind of helps drive or is kind of what is behind what drives you to do all the things you're
I think when I do about it, kind of the fire under me, because then I'm like, okay, let's do the most. Let's see what I can do in the face of whatever doubt. And when I was younger, my CP was a lot worse. And I didn't know for a while that I had CP. So I kind of was able to not worry about it and just live. So that's what allowed me to put myself to keep up with my friends and my family to work harder because I didn't understand what I had.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Because it's not like you said you kind of knew, but you didn't. And then over time, you developed that understanding of what's going on. But then, like you said, by that point, you were already the kind of rambunctious person. I was like, I don't care. I don't see any different. I'm just going to accomplish what I want. That's awesome. And I love that you brought that up because that kind of goes into another thing I saw on your Instagram that was really important. And it just made me think a little bit. And the caption was, "The only disability is a bad mindset." And I think that really segues into what you were just saying. And it was on a video of you of wake surfing.
I saw that and I thought we fit that title because I feel like in the disabled world, there's a lot of people that are afraid to go outside their comfort zone and their mindset is what determines where they'll go, not their disability. So for me, it's all about, really focusing on not being afraid of times because of my body. If I know I can do it, then I'm willing to do it. And I think a lot of people out there with disabilities kind of take the opposite approach.
Yeah, I agree with that because I think it gives you, and this anybody, including whether it's the adaptive community or the able-bodied community, can come up with any excuse not to do anything. All right. And like you said, with the adaptive community, you have a bigger excuse to not get outside your comfort zone. So, how has getting out of your comfort zone really impacted your life?
I did the biggest thing jump my strength. I remember when I was in high school starting to work out. And that was a big hurdle because I knew the second I walk into that gym, everybody's gonna look. And there was like one day I was like a junior. And I'm like, what, Logan? Who cares? They look as a junior child. And that was probably the biggest thing that I ever got over because then I started to get stronger. I could do more. I could be more independent. And I think that's a huge thing for everybody is to really focus on yourself because you know who you are. Somebody looking at you isn't gonna know who you are, no matter what they see.
Yeah, and I think people like to put on a mask, you know, they don't like to be authentic, which it's understandable because being authentic can be scary because, like, we're all afraid of being judged. And so I'm curious, you know, did you kind of have that mindset? And then finally, were you just like, screw it,
I'm going to go jam this? Because, like, in high school, I got very lonely. Like, I had friends in school, but they were never hanging out right now. I would always get left out, you know, so I just developed that thought. It was just like one day, I'm just like, you know what? Who cares what people think? If it's something I want to do, I'm going to go do it.
That's perfect, you know, and like, you know, a lot of people, yeah, that's a great way to explain it. It's just like,
when I posted that video, I had some comment that was the more wording about, because I think some actually talk about that. And I'm like, I'm not talking about the other people. I was talking about me, myself. My disability, a bad mindset is gonna hurt that. A good mindset is gonna fuel that.
Yeah, sometimes these people comment on things are just atrocious.
Yeah. So, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, but I love to see that you're like posting all these things. Yeah. And what I really love is the evolution of that first time going to the gym. And now I see you deadlifting, and one of your videos was deadlifting 350 pounds. It's cool to see. Was it 355? 385, is that what? No? Heck yeah, that's perfect. You know, you said something earlier that I think is really good to point out, is that getting into the gym, getting stronger, really has increased your independence. You know, I think that's important for everybody, whether you're in the adaptive community or not, to understand the importance of exercise. And so how has getting stronger really encouraged you and helped you coming into ski season and your skiing sport?
It really got me looking forward to the season, because for me, I know how to ski, but it's all about how much of my disability can I control, so that way I can compete and get the best skills in the Paralympic circuit. And that's why I really focused on working out. Because I knew if I put in the work, when I get to the mountain, it's going to pay off tenfold. Because then I get, you know, Paralympics is more about you versus your disability, not you versus other people. Because we're all in a factor system, so we all get handicapped based on our disability. So it's basically like, if you can work hard enough to beat your handicap, then you're going to be good versus the other reason.
Yeah, and that's an important aspect too, right? Because, you know, you are competing against others, but I love how you said it's you against your adaptation, which in turn, it becomes like an internal focus. Did I do better than this last time? And that's something that I've realized talking to a lot of adaptive athletes, is like that the goal is, did I do my best? Did I do better than the next time? And so could you take us back to like what it was like the first time you went skiing?
Yeah. So my mom and my grandma, they took me up to an adaptive program. And I still know the first coach I had. And he said, when we walked in, they looked at me. And they're like, what are we going to do with him? Like, they had no clue. Because, like, I was 8 years old. I just learned how to walk. I couldn't really walk. I was stumbling all over the place. But for the first 3 or 4 years, I could not ski independently. So everyone, they had to hold me up. And I felt like I fall probably 30 to 50 times a day for 4 or 5 years. So it took that long for my disability. Because what ended up happening was as I got stronger, the more I could see and the more I could control. So it took 4 or 5 years for my body to catch up with the strength that I needed to be able to see down the line, get the brain control. So it was a lot of frustration on my end, because I knew what to do, but my body didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part sometimes, right? When the body doesn't want to cooperate with the mind and you know you can do it. I gotcha. And so now, since you know you're skiing, your focus is the Paralympics, what does your training look like now? Because you were kind of mentioning you're training 5 days a week. You just got back from Utah. You're going back.
So I just got back from Texas. I was down there with the Adaptive Training Foundation, and they train elite adaptive athletes. So they had me down there for 9 weeks. I had my own trainers. I had support. I trained every day. So those 9 weeks, that's all I did. I woke up at 8 and I trained Monday through Friday. And then now I get back on snow in 2 weeks. Now we train Monday through Friday on snow. And now part time working 2 or 3 days of workout in return.
Man, that's a lot of time out in the snow in a gym.
Yeah. So, but I got approved in Utah. It's the first year I'll be falling in Utah for the whole winter. So the hours I'm going to get this year are going to be triple of what I usually get. So I can't wait to see the progression I have.
Yeah, that's always great to see, is like your personal progression. Yeah. Did you ever think when you started skiing at 8 years old and you finally figured it out and got a little bit stronger that you would ever be chasing like the Para-X?
The first day I showed up to the mountain, I told the coaches I'm going to go to the Paralympics. And they looked at me and they're like, okay. They never saw me get as far as I have. And we still talk about that. So it's super cool that when I was that young, I had that vision. And then now I'm like a year and a half away if I qualify.
That's incredible to hear, man. I can't wait to see and watch your journey on that end.
Thank you.
Yeah. Something that I like to ask kind of like all the athletes, you know, because you're mentioning that you went and you're working with some coaches and trainers, especially with like other adaptive athletes. How beneficial and how important and impactful is it to like be around other adaptive populations when you're getting into the athletic?
I think it's huge, because I think a lot of the world doesn't understand the level of the Paralympics and the level we compete at. So being in a gym with all the Paralympians, you know, I was working out with Ty Turner, Trevor Kennison, some big names, and just having them in the gym to push me was huge, because I knew that they knew how hard this is to qualify for.
Yeah, that's trying to think of my next question. Because you bring a lot to it, but I think what I really like is, one, you're talking about how having those others around really you. I think that's what we all need. But also, I feel like with that community, it becomes like a second.
Because we all understand what each other is working for.
Yeah, and you know, from an outsider's perspective looking in, you know, you said it perfectly. No one understands the amount of work you're putting in. I mean, like I said, you're in the gym every day. You're on the mountain every day. You know, that's.
I mean, my sponsors understand that. We thank God for them because they, like, at home, because they're like, how much is it going to cost? And I'm like, it's not cheap. Like, I can't really work and train full time. I can't go work a 9 to 5 and then go ski. You know, I have to be on the mountain from 9 to 2. So, and then by the time I get off the mountain, I'm dead tired. So I go home, I stretch, and I take a 2 hour nap. So.
Yeah, and that's another important thing to point out too, right? Is like not with only with the training and people not understanding the amount of time, but you know, you guys, like you said, you don't have time out work, and a lot of, you know, Paralympic athletes and even Olympic athletes, they gotta fund out of their own way for the most
part. The hardest part in the trying to just educate companies why they should sponsor Paralympic athletes and trying to show them how it's good for their market. And how they can brand that to benefit the athlete, but also the company.
Yeah, I think it would be beneficial to like get more sponsors involved, like you said. And you see that more and more happening. Yeah. And so do you contribute like the evolution of the Paralympics and like sponsors getting involved to like social media and things like that?
Sure, because I think the sponsors that are involved, they cannot see how difficult it is and how we are not just adaptive athletes. We are athletes competing at the highest level and the work it takes to get to that level.
Yeah, that's a good distinction, right? I mean, the like, you know, we can circle back again and again to just the amount of time and commitment you have to have, right? And then we were talking before, like, you know, you body wears down a lot because you said you were sick a little while ago because just all the travel, all the training.
Yeah.
So that is a lot.
We're disabled on top of it. So everything we do, we're burning more energy than anybody else. So.
Yeah, that's an even greater distinction to point out, right?
Because in my CP, I burn 40% more calories than the average person.
Yeah, so I bet you're eating a lot of big meals then, huh?
I eat every hour. So that was going.
Yeah, are you a snacker or you like to eat like big meals?
Yes.
I gotcha. What's your go-to meal before like either a race or a big training session?
Steak.
Yeah. Okay.
Steak with a potato and then maybe a little pasta. Yeah.
That's a good combination. Really good car. Yeah. Gotta get that in.
Yeah. That burning so quick.
So I'm really glad that we got to talk today because I actually interviewed Haley Griffith, who I mentioned in my message. And she was telling me you have a wakeboarding goal coming up that you're trying to shoot for. And I'd love to kind of just, you tell us about
it. Yeah, so I had this idea for 2 years. I started wakeboarding 2 years ago. And I want to learn how to jump the wake and then hopefully do a couple of trips eventually. So I'm slowly working toward that. I was going to try and test it, and then I jumped halfway across. And I'm like, okay, that's good for now. I would need to get hurt before it's even. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Like you said, if you know, Paralympics are a year and a half, you only got 1 season. You guys.
So I kind of had to tell myself, because like I felt good, I was jumping good, and we were about to do it, and we're like, no, I'll just wait. So.
Do you think there's a lot of crossover from the wakeboarding sport to skiing and vice versa?
The build, yeah. I think the build on the water is huge for me because when I'm on snow, I'm going to have more build over bump. Because the water is never perfectly flat. There's always bumps. And I think for me, that's why I started wakeboarding because I knew that it was on my value to get comfortable going over bumps, just like I'm over skis.
Do you have a preference on which sport? I'm assuming skiing, but
it's my dream.
So, are there any other sports you're kind of interested in exploring that you haven't yet, or that you will?
No, sure. I play golf quite a bit, so I'm doing a lot with golf too. So, I was an alternate for the U.S. Adaptive Event. So, one of the years when my goal is to qualify for the U.S. Open. So,
you just can't stop setting goals.
Yeah, I do a lot of.
That's great, though, because goals are really good for guiding your life, right? And like you said, what's great about it, and especially what, you know, circling back to the social media, is like by you posting that and sharing your information and like out there doing it, you're inspiring others or encouraging others of like, hey, I can do it yourself too, which I think is the biggest thing. And because there's, you know, there's a lack of, I would say, adaptive communities and like, you know, areas where there's not a lot of people, which gets overlooked. And so by you sharing what you're doing and same thing with this podcast, we can like outreach and people can start to see that like there's possible, but then also they can see the benefits of like movement and exercise and like how they get their independence, they find their own voice, and then they just start crushing goals like you are.
Yeah. And I think a big part about that is just education, you know. Everywhere I go, I try and educate people. Because a lot of people, if they're not like raised around disability, they may not understand it, but that's not their fault because they're not around it. So why would you want them to until you know about it? So that's when I kind of took my way, and I've tried to educate everybody else so that way when they go later on life, and they meet someone with CP or whatever, they're more open to them.
Yeah, I think that's a big important factor, education plus a combination of understanding. Yeah. You know, and not seeing past the adaptation, I think is a big thing to see, right? And that's something that I'm learning in like my educational pursuit currently, is like there's so many things beyond the adaptation or the traumatic event someone does suffer. And, you know, speaking of like education and getting out there, there was another picture I saw on your Instagram. It looked like you were giving a speech, and on the back of, I think it was a PowerPoint was up, and the thing on there said, I had to change my perspective from why me to not me. And I'd love to kind of hear your explanation and kind of an elaboration of that.
So when I was younger, like I really struggled because like as I got older, people started reacting different. My friends kind of, they noticed I was different, so they treated me different. And I really got a bad mindset of why me? Like, why do I have to deal with this? And when I started working out, it really lit up that fire disease. And that's where I came up with, why not me? Why can't I be the one to show the world what's possible and educate them, not just for myself, but for people that come behind me with disability, so that they're welcome into a world that understands who they are.
Yeah, and I think the way the digital world's going, a lot of people are starting to develop a more understanding, right? And it's even better that people such as yourself that have cerebral palsy are actually doing the education. And that's the part. It's the same thing being around other adaptive athletes. Like, you know, you guys get kind of the insights and you have someone that understands, even if they have a different aspect.
Because, like, I know how it feels to feel like nobody understands. And I would never want that for anybody. So if I can do anything I can to help prevent that, I will.
So what do you hope for kind of the evolution of adaptive athletics?
I really hope the Paralympics continue to grow and we can start making it more mainstream and more sponsorship, more big events. What that looks like, I don't know yet, but I feel like there's a way where we can have live World Cups on TV like the NFL that people will watch. Because that's another thing, that we compete at this level, but we also need to create that following to drive the revenue so that way athletes can afford to do what we do.
Yeah, that's the big part, is getting the views and the audience and things like that. And I noticed there recently, I think some Paralympic athletes with like a big social media following are really starting to work on, I think I actually created an Instagram page that like only produces Paralympic stuff, which is really great.
So,
and then it'll be great to see all the winter Paralympic sports being hosted in the next year and a half, which will be incredible to see.
Yeah, I think you'll be really big to get more of the main Olympic pages more on board too, and have them do more. Because they, I don't know if you saw the article. So ESPN, during the Olympics, they posted 430 crowd times. During the Paralympics, they only posted 3 times. So that's a big gap that we need to equal out.
Yeah, that's a huge gap. And I think it takes you guys that are in, you know, that are athletes, things like that, pushing that. And I think that'll be what makes it sales. I think that seems important. Yep. And so kind of going off of that, you know, we talked about the evolution of athletics. So kind of ending right here, I'm curious with, you know, you talked about education, kind of evolution of sports and skiing, your goals. What kind of legacy do you want to be left behind, or what do you want your legacy?
I really want to help develop a pathway for Paralympians to become successful. You know, I've seen so many athletes drop out because, not because they're not good enough, but because they can't afford it. So I want to create a platform where they can control their career, and not other people control them.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing too, right? Because then that brings in the sponsors, and sometimes sponsors want a certain thing, and you're like,
That's like, so we're in nonprofits. I have a fund, and I fund Paralympic athletes. So that way the athletes are in the driver's seat, not the nonprofit. Because I think that happens too a lot, is that we have all these nonprofits around the job. Adaptive sports, which is great, but once the athlete gets to a certain level, they're not nonprofit, they're professional, and they can't afford to go teach at a gala to raise millions of dollars and not get paid for that.
Yeah, that's a difficult thing, right?
And that's really why I'm trying to work on that and figure out how can we solve this issue. Because all the nonprofits are created to get people to wear them. But then what do we do with them when they're at this level?
Especially when they got bills to pay.
There's a lot of
other things like that.
Exactly. We can't do GoFundraise for nonprofits and not get paid. Because what happens is all the founders that are involved, they're involved with the nonprofit, so they pay the nonprofit and then the athlete gets left out.
Okay, I was not aware of that. Yeah. That's interesting.
So that, I didn't have the few problems with the whole sponsorship thing is that all these companies donate to nonprofits, but that doesn't help the athlete trying to qualify for the pyramid.
Yeah, because see, it's like you get your start from the nonprofit, like whether it's equipment and things like that, and introductions and training. But then once you get to, like you said, where you're at, it's like, well, I got to pay thousands of dollars to get to another country to go represent my country. And like, you know, Team USA, from what I've been told, and just, you know, the information I have right now is like, there's only so much funding they can afford to because they have all these sports.
I also really think we can market it a lot better and educate more companies to create a bigger fund.
That's true. And like I said, I think it just takes time. Yeah. And so, but it's great to see that like the athletes themselves are doing it. And I think that's the more important that you guys that are on the ground.
Yeah. Because it does, like, I hate watching an athlete give up because they're really good at what they do and they can't afford it. But then they go peak at some banquet that raises $1 million or more late, and they don't get caught or trapped for that. It's just like an NFL player. Like if an NFL player goes to talk for a company, they get paid to be there.
Yeah, it's like public speaking, right? You get paid for the speaking. And so I foresee things slowly changing, especially it seems like there's an evolution coming forward in social media. You know, I think it's just a really good tool that people are starting to realize how to use it. I think that's the big thing. I mean, you can see a big evolution, but that disparity, like you said, 432 things on ESPN versus
that's huge. And that's all your sponsors right there. If we had more posts, you know the sponsors would be all over there because then they would pay the athletes more because they were getting more awareness.
Yeah, and then the thing is too, though, right? I mean, you and I are having this conversation and you're sponsored by a company. Well, then if it's a good company, people that maybe have cerebral palsy or some other adaptation are going to see that. And see that you're sponsored by that, they're probably going to go buy their products because it's something that you personally use and you recommend, which is a big thing when it comes, you know, especially when it's off. Well, Logan, man, this has just been an incredible conversation. And like, it's been an honor and a pleasure talking to you and meeting you and learning so much about you. It's been great. I've enjoyed every single second.
Thank you. You too. Thank you for having me on.